This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hi, it's Rich. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of the Zioli Show. And do us a big favor, please. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribing always helps. Tell your friends. Enjoy the podcast.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
So why don't we first talk about Michael Flynn, shall we? Because, man, are his civil liberties being abused. And, of course, nobody cares but us. But you should care if you're consistent on civil liberties, because his are being completely railroaded. Over at the Federalist, Margaret Cleveland has a piece. The federal judge overseeing Michael Flynn's sentencing just dropped a major bombshell. The memorandum reveals for the first time concrete evidence that the FBI created multiple summaries of Michael Flynn's questioning, which may indicate that they're hiding the truth, that the FBI is hiding the truth. The FBI. Now, there's another piece here. Fox News. Comey admits decision to send FBI agents to interview Flynn was not standard. In case you don't know, and I'm sure you do, but just always have to cover my bases, Michael Flynn, a decorated general. He was a guest on this show a couple times during the campaign. Very, very nice guy. And so they ask him to come talk to the FBI, and he doesn't think anything of it. He figures they're all on the same team now. So they send agents to interview him. They don't advise him that he should have an attorney. And as the questioning goes on, and he even asks for one, they say, don't worry about it. He's a petty pocket, like one of those people that, you know, pick pockets or something like that. Pocket picker, picker upper. Former FBI Director James Comey admitted in a recent interview that he personally made the decision to send a pair of agents to interview President Trump's national security advisor, Michael Flynn, in 2017. And James Comey acknowledged that the arrangement was not typical for dealing with White House officials. The new details about that fateful interview, which led to criminal charges against Flynn, come as a federal judge ordered special counsel Robert Mueller to turn over all the government's documents related to Flynn's questioning and ahead of Flynn's sentencing. Asked to describe how FBI agents ended up at the White House to interview Flynn in January, Comey, speaking to MSNBC's Nicole Wallace, said, I sent them. Comey went on to acknowledge that the way the interview was set up, not through the White House counsel's office, but arranged directly with Flynn, was not standard practice. He called it something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized administration. You know, Comey deserves to be fired just for this. He really does. I mean, I've always said Comey should have been fired for lots of reasons, but this coming out, more than enough reason to fire James Comey. If you're the president of the United States, it's you don't even have respect for my office and the people advising me to go through the White House counsel's office. You're trying to trap my people. Put yourself in the shoes of the president of the United States. You're the head of the executive branch of government. The people around you who are there to help you do your job. As I often say, the presidency is singularly unique under our system of Republican small r form of government. The presidency is one person. The executive branch of government is one person. That's it. One guy or gal. And then there's lots and lots of people who help the president do his job under the Constitution versus the legislative branch, which is made up of 535 people. The judiciary, which is made up of hundreds of people. Presidency is just one guy. So you'd imagine the president would think that everybody's working on the same team, and that team is helping him do the job that he swears an oath to do, which is to take care that the law is faithfully executed, right? You know, if I were the president, I'd be furious over that. So wait a minute. You come in, you sit down with my national security advisor in the White House. You don't tell me you're coming. You don't tell my people you're coming. You try to trap my guy when you're my guy. See, Comey is a megalomaniac. The guy has got an ego bigger than the White House. You know, my son often asks me, he says, you know, Daddy, is that bigger than the Hulk? Is that bigger than the Hulk? Daddy, is that car bigger than the Hulk? Because he's four and he's into superheroes. And I often say no, because the Hulk, while very, very large, is not typically bigger than most physical structures. But I will tell you this, James Comey's ego is way bigger than the Hulk. That I know. Because this guy thought it was appropriate to order FBI agents to go in and sit down with the president's national security advisor without telling the president, and to trap him into thinking this was a friendly meeting. Comey went on to acknowledge the way the interview was set up, not through the White House counsel's office, was not standard practice. Why would it be standard practice? Well, because typically the FBI director is not trying to trap the national security advisor. Imagine how that would work, by the way, the other way around. If the military and the national security team tried to entrap the FBI director, or anybody who's a civilian working in the president's administration. Imagine that, how that would work out. You would call that a coup d'etat, would you not? But the FBI, because we've allowed this false idea to perpetrate our society, which is that, oh, the FBI is separate from the executive branch of government. The Justice Department's separate. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's absolutely 100% under the executive branch of government. It's 100% under the presidency. It is 100% part of the president's administration constitutionally to take care that the laws are faithfully executed. Yet this guy decided, well, I'll just order the agents to go in myself. Describing how it's usually done, Comey said, quote, if the FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official, you would work through the White House counsel and there'd be discussions and approvals and who would be there. Recalling his decision to bypass those steps, Comey said, I thought, it's early enough. Let's just send a couple guys over. You know, he's trying to make this out to be that the White House was disorganized and chaotic. It's the first month in. They literally just got there. Elections in November 2016. The president's inaugurated in late January of 2017. And shortly afterwards, the FBI comes over. How's anybody in the White House supposed to know that typically the FBI doesn't come in and interview a senior person unless the counsel's office is involved? They wouldn't know that, right? To protect the president, though, because your job is to protect the president, anybody who works for him, your job is to protect the president. I'm sorry, but it is. I know that there are people out there who say, your job is to serve the people of the United States of America. No, it's not. No, it's not. Your job is to do what the president wants you to do. Your job is to serve the president, period. Yes, I know that that's very, very politically incorrect to say, but it's true. He serves the American people. You don't. Your job, you serve him. You serve the president. That's how our system of government works. Much like how if I'm a chief of staff to a congressman or a woman, my job is not to serve the American people. My job is to serve the member of Congress who pays me. Even though he doesn't pay me, taxpayers do, but you get the point. If I'm a judge, my job is not to serve the American people. My job is to serve my courtroom. And if I'm a clerk to that judge, my job is not to serve the American people. My job is to serve my judge, to make sure that my judge or justice is briefed on all relevant cases regarding the case before him now or her now. But we have this notion that no, your job is to serve the people. I'm sorry, who elected James Comey? In a system of government where there's no oversight by the people, you're not serving the people. You are a dictator at that point. I can't fire the FBI director, can you? I can fire the president with my vote. Not just my vote, but the people can change our Congress. We can change our president. I can't change the FBI director. The president can. So I rely on the FBI director to serve the person that I elected, because as a voter, as a person who participates in this republic, small r republic, I deserve to have my voice heard. And if it's not heard, then what am I doing here? And most importantly, though, I deserve to have accountability by the people that I elect. So they're accountable to me and you. They're accountable to us as voters. But I can't fire the FBI director. I can vote against the president. I can't fire that person. So what is this notion that he serves me? No, he doesn't. No, he's supposed to serve the guy that I elected, because the people elect our leaders in this country. That's how it works. And yet James Comey's such a megalomaniac, he thought, well, I'll just do whatever I want. According to Flynn's legal team, FBI agents in this case did not instruct Flynn that any false statements he made could constitute a crime, and decided not to confront him directly about anything he said that contradicted their knowledge of his wiretape communications with the Russian ambassador Sergei Kislyak. The January 2017 interview with the FBI is the basis of Flynn's guilty plea. Flynn pleaded guilty to lying about whether he had talked to former Russian ambassador Sergei Kislyak in December 2016 on limiting the Russian government's response to then former President Barack Obama's recently imposed sanctions for election meddling. Flynn was pushed out shortly after the interview for misleading Vice President Pence and other officials about these contacts. Imagine it like this. The FBI comes along. You're the national security advisor. Your job is to defend the president. Your job is to serve the president on national security matters. A couple agents are there. They ask you questions and you lie to them because you don't think it's relevant for them to know. But what they don't tell you, though, is that whatever you say to them will then become part of a criminal inquiry, which will then be used to charge you. See, under that standard, James Clapper should be in prison right now. James Clapper was the head of the NSA when he went before Congress and lied to them about wiretaps and snooping on all of us. I don't know if you remember that or not, but James Clapper, notorious liar, sat there in front of the, I believe it was a Senate committee, and they asked him, are you, it was Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, who said, are you spying on the American people? And he said, no, sir. And he admitted that was perjury. He admitted, even though he was under oath, he said, I told the best lie I could under the circumstances, or something like that. Why wasn't he ever charged? He was under oath. He was lying to Congress, and he knew he was under oath. He took an oath, and he was never charged because they said, well, it's a national security matter. So here you have the head of the NSA, the National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, sitting there with FBI agents. Like, who the hell are these guys? They're all part of the same team. They're all in the executive branch of government. Congress didn't hire a special counsel who's now sitting across from this person, and there's a question of a legislative check, a question of the separation of powers, as there was with Clapper, by the way. Literally, Clapper, part of the executive branch, lying to the legislative branch is exactly the point that I'm making, which is that you're supposed to have oversight on the branches of government. Clapper lied to Congress. The executive lied to Congress, and nothing ever happened with that, which is an absolute slap in the face of our democracy. But here you have the executive branch going to interview the executive branch. The NSA director says, I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe in his mind, he thought, these guys have no reason to know my conversations with Sergei Kislyak in December when the president was the president-elect and I was the incoming national security advisor talking to my counterpart in Russia. It's none of their damn business. And if they had said to him, well, we are actually here in the course of a criminal investigation, and anything you say to us we'll use against you, at that moment, he would have walked out of the room and most likely would have told an aide who would have called the White House counsel. The White House counsel would have walked in and said, get the hell out of the White House. Get out. Who the hell do you two think you are? And those two agents would have been in a lot of trouble. And then it would have went all the way up the food chain to the FBI director, and they would have said, you sent guys here to interview him in a criminal matter you didn't tell us? When what he said could have also exposed the president or sensitive national security matters? You see what I mean in terms of Jim Comey and his gigantic megalomaniac ego? That's why U.S. District Judge Emmett G. Sullivan ordered Mueller late Wednesday to turn over all the government's documents and memoranda related to the Flynn questioning. Because this judge is also concerned, as I am, that not only was the absolute security of our nation threatened, this man's civil liberties were threatened, and the executive branch has no business going into the executive branch, the capital of the executive branch, the headquarters, the White House, without so much as letting the president's legal team know why they're there and misleading the guy who's in charge of advising the president on national security matters. This kind of crap happens in a banana republic. It's not supposed to happen here. James Comey was basically orchestrating a coup. And I'll call it that because that's what it was. But other people say, oh, he's so brave. Let's see now. This is what I love about people who tweet me. And you can, by the way, if you like to. Feel free. Go ahead. At Rich Zeoli. John says, why do you feed misinformation to your listeners? Appointed and elected officials swear an oath to the Constitution. They serve the rule of law. They don't swear an oath to the president. That's a dictatorship. You're smart enough to know that. Well, A, I never said elected officials in any capacity because the presidency is the only elected official in the executive branch of government. That's it. Well, the vice president, too, but you know the point that I'm making here. We don't elect the chief of staff. We don't elect the FBI director. We don't elect the secretary of defense. We don't elect the NSA director. We don't elect any of those people. Elected officials are elected, and their job is to absolutely 100% serve the Constitution, without question, absolutely. And the people that work for the president, they're also supposed to serve the Constitution. But this question of they don't swear an oath to the president. So let me understand this now. If tomorrow the head of the, the military, the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff decided, yeah, I really don't think the president's doing enough to handle the situation in the Middle East. So, we swore an oath to the Constitution. Let's go take the guy out. Or what if you had, say, the Secretary of Defense say, you know, I know that I'm a civilian. I know that I serve at the pleasure of the president, but I took an oath and I just don't think the president's doing enough to fight ISIS. So we're taking him out. You call that a coup is what you do. You call that a coup d'etat. But according to John's logic here, people that work for the president who are not accountable to the people because they're not elected, their first job is the Constitution, not the presidency, so they can do whatever the hell they think is in the best interest of the Constitution. So as long as they think it's in the best interest of the Constitution, then by all means, take over. Take over the Republic if you want. Hey, we don't think the president's being constitutional on this drone-striking American citizens. The last guy, Obama, killing American citizens without due process. Literally killing American citizens without due process. And so let's say I was in there and I thought, you know, this is really egregious to the Constitution because people have, they have the right before they're killed by their government. It says it right there, life, limb, property, and all that. And he's just killing them. So we're going to go in there and take Obama out for the good of the Constitution. We can't have a guy killing American citizens without due process. And he killed four of them. So maybe the fourth one, I lose it. You know, here I am, the head of the NSA, and I say, damn it, that's enough. I took an oath to the Constitution. This guy is abusing it. Let's go take him out. Would John have been okay with that? How do you decide who's serving the Constitution and who's not? If I had said at the time, you know, I'm really annoyed, by the way, that the IRS is going after people's civil liberties, and I really don't see anything that the Secretary of the Treasury is doing here. So I took an oath to the Constitution. So even though I'm the Secretary of Defense, clearly now we have to take the president out. It's coup d'etat. Or better yet, I'm the head of the FBI and I say, I really have a problem here with how the head of the Treasury is behaving. So I'm going to send in some agents under the guise of talking to him about how the IRS is operating. And in the middle of that, I'm actually going to trick them into saying things relative to their job so that we can hopefully nail them to the wall for lying to my FBI agents. Now, we're not going to tell them it's a criminal inquiry. We're going to try to trap them. And even though the procedure is to go through the White House counsel's office, we're just going to go in. We're just going to talk to them and never tell them that they're the subject of a criminal inquiry. The other thing, too, this proves once and for all, as was correctly pointed out to me on Twitter by a smart person, very, very smart person, Alan, who said, doesn't this prove once and for all that Trump and his team were wiretapped? And the answer is absolutely yes. You know, when Mark Levin first brought this point up after the election and he said that they were wiretapping Trump Tower, remember the reaction from the media was, this guy's crazy with his conspiracy theories. This guy's a loon. Well, if the FBI agents go in under the direction of the FBI director, James Comey, they don't tell the White House counsel. They go in there and talk to the national security advisor, a guy whose job it is to advise the president on matters that these FBI agents have no, I imagine, have zero clearance to even hear or understand, right? So these agents ask him questions that he may or may not in his capacity feel that they need to know. And they are testing him against what they know based on electronic surveillance that he was not aware that they were doing against him. So here we have the article from the Federalist. And I thought this is quite a good article here. The judge dropping a truth bomb overseeing the Michael Flynn sentencing. While Flynn's sentencing memorandum methodically laid out the case for a low-level sentence of 1 year probation, footnote 23 dropped the bomb, revealing that the agent's 302 summary of his interview was dated August 22, 2017. As others have already noted, the August 22, 2017 date is a striking detail because that puts the 302 report nearly 7 months after the Flynn interview. When added to facts already known, this revelation takes on a much greater significance. Further revelations may be forthcoming soon following an order entered late yesterday by the judge to file with the court any 302s or memorandums relevant to Flynn's interview. Now, if you remember, the question was about a December conversation with Sergey Kislyak. Text messages between Peter Strozak and his lover, Lisa Page, indicate that Strozak wrote his notes from the Flynn interview shortly after he questioned the National Security Advisor on January 24th, 2017. Specifically, on February 14th, 2017, Strozak texted Page, as Gumadin, and said, "Also, is Andy good with F-302? She said, "Launch on F-302. That's obviously Andrew McCabe, right? Special counsel. Now we know from the sentencing memorandum, an earlier 302 form existed from James Comey himself, and that he may have lied before the House Judiciary and Oversight Committees." So I guess the question then becomes, if James Comey was lying to Congress, should James Comey be charged with a crime? And the answer to that, of course, is absolutely, right? He should. Absolutely he should. His argument would be, well, they didn't need to know. Just like Clapper, when he lied to them years earlier, said, well, they didn't need to know. General Michael Flynn probably thought these FBI agents didn't need to know his conversations with the Russian ambassadors. None of their damn business. And yet they charge him with a crime for lying to them. Why? When James Clapper lied about spying on us, his argument was, well, it's a national security matter. Why, when the NSA director lies to the FBI agents about his conversations with a foreign government in his capacity as the incoming national security advisor, how is that not a sensitive national security matter? But you see now, we live in a time when you have the left actively cheering on the destruction of civil liberties and the destruction of checks and balances. Checks and balances in our government? No way. No way, they'll tell you, because they got to do anything they can to stop Trump. So I guess my earlier question would be then, if these people took an oath to the Constitution and tomorrow walked into the Oval Office and said, "You're out," they would probably cheer that. They would. Never happened in our nation's history before. Never happened for a reason, which is that people who serve in the president's cabinet understand that while their oath is to the Constitution, their job is to support the man who was elected by the people and is accountable to the people as the head of the executive branch of government. And if they walked in there and took the guy out, we would cease being a republic at that point. We would be something else. A crazy dictatorship. A military coup d'etat. Something. But if the FBI does it, how is it any different? Ah, that's right. There are no civil libertarians left on the left, are there? Nope, there are not. There never were, by the way. Here's the little secret. You want the little secret? Here's the secret. Ready? There never were. Not in a very, very long time. Not since maybe the 70s. The truth of the matter is the left has become completely authoritarian. Where were they when Obama was killing people with drone strikes who were American citizens without due process? Where were they? You didn't hear a peep out of them. Where were they when Obama ordered a drone strike that killed innocent civilians at a wedding in Pakistan? You didn't hear a peep out of them. These people are hypocritical frauds. When the Obama administration expanded civil forfeiture, not a word, nothing. They are authoritarians. And the truth is, they would absolutely welcome a coup as long as it got rid of Trump. You know it and I know it too. And James Comey, with his gigantic ego, is no better. He's absolutely an authoritarian. He's used his office to abuse people's civil liberties who are under investigation. He's launched investigations after people who had no business being investigated. And they have used their role to bring down politicians like former Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska. No, the left, they are completely authoritarians. And it makes me sick. It makes me sick that people even talk about the fact that they may not be. And it's taking President Trump and Jared Kushner and Republicans to finally pass a prison reform bill and to finally legalize hemp and to finally now decriminalize marijuana from a federal government's perspective. You don't hear anymore, do you, of federal raids on states with marijuana? Do you hear that stuff? I don't. Happened all the time under the Obama administration. You're not hearing about it now. In fact, more states and more states now are legalizing marijuana because the federal government is off their backs, finally. The left are authoritarians, period.
Rich Cioli, 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.